Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 368, recorded on May 25th, 2019. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This episode is sponsored by Captera at captera.com/tios. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from Smile. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and I feel like it's been forever since we've hung out.
Has it been?
No.
It's been 2 weeks.
It just kind of feels that way.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah, it's been forever. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, we had a fun discussion.
All riled
before.
Up.
Yeah, we're all riled up, ready to go. We talked about
Apple's ripping me off.
Yeah, the classic.
And I argument. Just kind of sat back and enjoyed the show. It was great.
You just ate popcorn. But that was about Mac, so we're going to talk about iPhones on this show, of course. The 2019 iPhone, according to Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, he tweeted nothing really new, but tweeted some cased molds for the three upcoming iPhones, and these are typically based upon the dimensions that are leaked from factories, but this is how the case makers that we often point to get their case dimensions and you know, give us an idea of what the new iPhones will look like. So we still got the Triscuit on the back. So we have the Triscuit on all three phones, with three camera cutouts for the XS and XS Max, whatever those are going to be called. I don't even, are they going to be the 11s? I don't know.
You know, I've heard some people saying it's the iPhone 11, but at the same time, I think they're just kind of making it up.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, you know, if they call it the 11 with Roman numerals, they'll finally stop calling it the X.
Yeah. Then people call it the iPhonal.
The iPhonal.
Yeah. Because they don't know the difference between a Roman numeral and the letter L.
Okay.
Yep. Is there going to be anything on this phone that's going to be compelling enough to make me want to upgrade for my iPhone 10?
An Apple logo?
Aside from the Apple logo.
Come on, that just goes
without saying.
Come on, man. Getting back into it already. They're going to rip you off. Yeah.
No.
I think the
I'm actually somewhat serious about the Apple logo. It's like I probably shouldn't have upgraded to a XS, but I did just so I could talk about whatever minor new features it had.
Yeah, and I didn't get a XS because just AT&T's cycle is now for me so far off from Apple's that it was more money than I wanted to throw at AT&T at that time.
Right.
And so when the new one comes around, at this point, it better be really compelling because I'm having a hard time justifying upgrading from the iPhone 10 that I have.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there will be other things that are not known at this time that are harder to leak that may make it worth it. But you may be right. I mean, honestly, I'm the embodiment of the, why do I need to upgrade? Because I'm still on the iPhone 7.
The iPhone 7 is a solid phone.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny though, when I, a lot of listeners will remember when I first got the 7, I wanted to throw the thing out the window as far as I could.
I remember that.
Like, I don't know why, but it was just, there was something about it that changed. I think it was the combination of the no physical home button and God, I don't know what else. Oh, lack of headphone jack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it just made me crazy. But yeah, I love it. I love this phone. You know, I'm probably going to upgrade this year. I'm not entirely sure. I know I'll be getting a work phone, so they'll be giving me something better. I don't know if it's going to be an 8 or a 10. But you know, I know plenty of people who, when they get work phones, they care even less about their personal phone. But I feel like I'm the kind of person who, when I get used to a level of performance and capability with the other one, I'll probably want the parity.
Sure.
So, as far as 2020 sure, iPhones, we've got Barclays analyst Blaine Curtis. They took a trip to China and, they got some information about the next gen iPhones. So again, from their perspective, all 2019 iPhones will look about the same, with the exception of the camera bump. But the big thing that I am not excited about is no more 3D touch in 2019 iPhones. And this is kind of echoing a previous Barclays report. What do you guys think? I'm not excited. I use 3D touch every day.
I use 3D touch regularly in a couple apps.
Yes.
But my problem is, because I use 3D touch in a couple places on my iPhone, I try and 3D touch on my iPad all the time. And this has been my complaint with 3D touch since it was introduced. If it's not everywhere, like, you know, like the touch bar on the Mac, if it's not everywhere, then it might as well not be anywhere.
Right.
Because now developers have to do this multiple interface support thing, and users have to figure out what devices they can use which interface on, and so commit one way or the other.
You know, it may be okay, so they say that there's gonna be 3D touch, or they're getting rid of 3D touch and instead switching to haptic touch. Excuse me. Which is what the 10R has, right? The quote unquote haptic touch, which is kind of BS. Which I think you're kind of overloading. Yeah. You're overloading the touch and hold. And you know, it works in certain contexts. It doesn't provide the same functionality everywhere. For example, you know, you 3D touch on notifications and you get additional options. However, which actually the funny thing is I hardly ever use that. Well, I take it back. I use it for like trashing emails and that sort of thing. And then it works just the same on my iPad. Instead of a 3D touch, it's just a long press. But with icons, for example, if I want to, you know, maybe open a new Safari icon or new Safari tab, it doesn't work that way on the iPad. So maybe to your point about if it's not everywhere, then the functionality isn't really going to be implemented. Perhaps that's part of the drive. Maybe they can't get 3D touch in, you know, the size of an iPad, for example. I feel like they could. I'm not really sure how they implement it. I don't think they use like strain gauges like they do with the touch, the trackpad. But if the TLDR is, it sounds like this is an opportunity to make it happen everywhere, which if they can make the feature work as well as it does with 3D touch, then I'd be okay with it. But I don't know. I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. But at the same time, if they do something that's uniform across all iOS devices, then whatever, that's actually a step forward.
Right. Yeah. What else do we have? The next gen 10R will have 4 gigs of RAM, up from 3 gigabytes. I believe that is, I think that's in reference to the 2019. Yes. Yeah. Cause that's echoing a Ming-Chi prediction about the 2019s. In addition to that, so my favorite rumor is the 2020 iPhones, 5G support, sure. 3D sensing with the rear camera sensor, fine. But my favorite is the idea of the acoustic fingerprint technology that could allow for full screen Touch ID.
Do you really think Touch ID is coming back?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
But I don't think they're... I think what they want to do is they'll bring back Touch ID and keep Face ID. So you'll have two means of authentication. And I think that ultimately means faster and more reliable than one of the two. Right? Because there are contexts where both, where either one wouldn't work, right? Wet fingers or, you know, gloves, that sort of thing, or, you know, weird sunlight. If you have both, basically you can pick up your phone and if Face ID works, then it worked. Great. If it doesn't, by the time you touch your phone, then suddenly you're in.
Well, if it works like that, then why have Face ID? Because when you pick up your phone, you're already touching it. So it'll be like the old days where it's unlocked by the time you see the screen.
Well, I guess the only would be like notifications and that sort of thing where you immediately see them.
And also scenarios where you don't have touch.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Right, because that was always the problem. People who lived in colder climates or used gloves, or like Michael said, if you had wet fingers or sweaty fingers, or there were all those instances where that didn't work.
Yeah.
So I can see the idea of hedging the bets, and now one or the other is going to work, and either way the phone's unlocked when you go to access it.
Yeah, I think that would really improve the experience.
Well, living in Colorado, I can say that in the winter, Face ID is a much better experience than Touch ID. Right. Because I don't have to take gloves off. Because when I had an iPhone 7 and I did take my gloves off, okay, now there's already snow on the screen because it's snowing outside. I put my finger on the sensor. There's already moisture there. It didn't work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they can do both reasonably, then fine.
I think they can. There are Android phones that already do that. I think Samsung phones have both.
Okay. So now I have another question. If Apple does that, does that make for
less secure,
more of a headache when you break your screen and now they have to replace the screen?
Oh, yeah.
And what is that? So, you know, we have the whole thing with the Touch ID sensor and where you can't swap out the buttons and Apple has to do special stuff to make the phone work.
Well, the Face ID array, I believe, is paired in the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if the whole screen is doing Touch ID?
Yeah, you'd have to replace the whole damn screen. I don't know.
Screen, and what do they do?
I doubt they'd be able to or be willing to modularize it where you could like replace some
break the screen. They just give you a new phone.
No, I would imagine it's something that they could independently, you know, repair the screen. But I think that it would be a matter of like, okay, you cracked the cover glass on your screen. You know, it's going to cost this much to bring it in and we'll swap it out. And that way, you know, they still retain the actual display and then the thing on the back of it. But, you know, they have to replace the cover glass and that's not something they're going to do in the store. I can see that sort of thing happening.
Now I'm curious, does that tech work with cracked screens?
I bet it does.
Like, does it continue to work? Because most people I know never get their screens fixed anyway.
God, that just drives me crazy. Yeah. Also,
of phones I see with broken screens is pretty crazy.
Can I point out the fact that my iPhone 7 that I got in frickin' 2016, I dropped this thing so much. And it's fine.
I dropped my iPhone 10 and 10S quite a bit too. And I only use an Apple leather case. I don't use a big beefy case. And,
yeah.
And knock on wood, out of the, I don't know, dozens at least, maybe more times that I dropped the thing, I had one instance where I got a tiny like micro crack in the corner.
Uh-huh.
And I just took it to Apple and had them replace it. But
yeah, I've been rocking the,
I paid the accidental damage on that one phone that one time to have it replaced. And I probably didn't even need to ever, I mean, you could barely notice it. It was just like right on the corner, a tiny crack, but
yeah, I've been using the leather case the entire time, the Apple leather.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It's a good case.
If it's just luck. I'm sure it's just luck with how it lands, you know, but
well, I think the case is well engineered also.
Well, yes, but at the same time, luck with the way it lands. My iPhone 7 with Apple's leather case, phone falls just like maybe 12 inches because I was getting out of my car. And it goes straight down on that bottom edge, which isn't protected, and just destroyed the screen.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is why I don't use Apple's leather case anymore.
What it lands on, how it lands, you know, just luck of the draw, really.
Yeah, and up to that point, I've been using Apple's leather case exclusively on multiple
phones. That's why I have AppleCare with the accidental damage, you know? It's just like, I can just get it swapped out.
I'm surprised you get AppleCare on your phones.
I do it because I've done some dumb things. I had one go in the pool. I had one left on the top of the car.
Don't remember that one. That's impressive though. Get some dumb things going on there, Adam.
Yeah. And one, you know, I just dropped and it landed wrong and I got a little tiny crack. But I like the idea that I go, oh, that sucks. But hey, you know, the worst thing that happened here is I've got to go into the Apple store and have them fix it or replace it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the, I see a double sensor, double unlock sensor coming. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Can I make one other case for the AppleCare thing, though?
Yeah.
I have a $1,200 phone in my pocket.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yikes,
so,
dude.
So, you know, like...
$1,200, yeah.
Dropping it and having to pay $100 to get it fixed, that's just... that. Seems like smart value to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess.
Okay, this is actually the most compelling reason for me to get a new iPhone this fall. Because AppleCare has run out on my iPhone 10.
Right. Yeah, but you're going to be paying a lot more. I mean, it's crazy how much this phone cost. It really was stupid. I mean, I could have bought a MacBook.
Yeah, you could have. You could have bought an iPad.
Yep.
Yeah. God.
It's an interesting cycle with iPhone upgrades because iPhone upgrades are slowing. People are not buying as many iPhones. Apple keeps raising the price. Like it's a cycle that is feeding itself. It's a snake eating its tail. You know, it's. When you make a $1,200 phone, you're making more profit, but you are going to force a lot of people to wait a lot longer before they update or upgrade. Mm-hmm.
Wait, did you get the Max or the regular?
I just got the regular.
Okay.
So I'm kind of counting the whole thing, like sales tax, Apple Care, all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, walking out the door.
Right.
I think it was $1,200 plus, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I'm looking
at this. Total cost.
Right. Yeah, I guess I'll get $200 for my iPhone 7 if I trade it in to Apple, which is pretty good. I think Apple probably offers the best trade-in value.
Yeah.
If you're going to do trade-in.
You'll get more if you sell it.
On eBay,
you got to deal with that.
Right.
I mean, it's probably worth double that. You probably could get $400 for it, I bet.
There's an itty bitty scratch on the screen, but it's hardly noticeable.
$150.
Thanks. Yeah. What else do we have? Oh, Oh, here's another good one. So this is from the same report from Barclays. A few suppliers, but not all, mentioned a potential for iPhone SE 2 with iPhone 8 internal in 2020. I know a lot of people who'd be excited about that.
It's not a dumb idea.
I think it would be a great idea. I'm not going to hold my breath for it.
I mean, I wouldn't buy it. I'm not the demographic who wants it.
No, but there is a large demographic that would. A large demographic.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's priced at what? $299, $399, somewhere in that range?
That'd be remarkable. I don't think it's going to be that.
Well, maybe they'll do it, assuming they do this. Maybe it'll be a phone for emerging markets.
Well, if you want a... an SE right now. They originally went for $350 starting.
Right. Yeah. So I think there's a huge room in the market for Apple to have a phone in that price range. Even in the US now. Again, especially with just slowing sales. And if Apple's whole new focus in the short term is services, they have more of an interest in getting more phones in the market or keeping more iPhones in the market than they do in making profit off of, you know, massive margins off of iPhones at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more iPhones means more iCloud storage needed, means more iPhoto library accounts, means more Apple Music accounts, means more Apple Arcade accounts, means more Apple News accounts, means more Apple... You know,
yeah.
Like, I think we're going to see Apple. So that's why I kind of believe this is a thing that could happen, because I think we're going to see Apple transitioning with iPhones and iPads more to, it's more important that we maintain the number of active devices in the marketplace than it is that we get 40% margins on every device that we sell.
Do you think they're going to lower the cost of iPhones this year?
No, I don't think they'll necessarily lower the cost, but I think they will take a model where they can maintain that margin that they like and put it in the market at a price point that people will buy them, if that makes sense. So I guess, you know, I mentioned the margin only because that's what Apple likes to get, but the way they get around that is they create a device that has older tech in it where they can maintain their margin, but they can sell it at a consumer price point where more consumers are going to like jump in at that price point.
Yeah.
Man. And that end of the market tends not to think as much about specs as, again, it's an iPhone. Cool. It's a really cool iPhone and it has a good camera and it has, you know, and I can get it for, you know, and then carriers will put promotions behind that and really, if it's a $300 phone, you're getting it for $150 or $100, somewhere in that price range, and they're flying out the door. And, you know, they probably have less storage, and so people are like, oh, I need some iCloud storage. Let me sign up for that. And, oh, what? Let me try Apple Music. Or the carrier gives them Apple Music for free for the first year, and then they resubscribe the second year because they're hooked on it. You know, like all of these things are going to drive services.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense. I mean, they need to have a range of price points. They need to have phones that are at all ends of the market. And historically, they don't target the lower end. But I think as they move into more services, targeting the lower end is going to be critical because that's actually where the mass is going to be, I think.
Yeah, I see that. Okay. Apple released tvOS 12.3 with the updated TV app, and I'm glad we're limbered up for hot topics because I'm irritated with this update.
Let me jump in with a question.
So irritated with this update.
Okay.
Well, why should I be using the TV app anymore?
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like we're on the same page, right? Is the idea that like now it doesn't just show you what you can watch right now for what you're already paying?
Correct. They've ruined it.
Yeah, they ruined it. Okay, yes. Thank goodness. I'm glad we're all on the same page. Yeah, so now
I've already switched to just going into individual apps. like an animal.
Oh my God. Yep. Why didn't you just downgrade your OS?
I really want them to put a setting or some sort of toggle.
Yeah. I tweeted at Tim Cook actually today. I'm sure that'll fix everything. Yeah, I downgraded. I was on the beta and I'm using it. I'm like, this is just so much shittier. Why is it so bad? Is it beta? Like, what's going on? And I was looking into, you know, the Apple TV Reddit, and people weren't really talking about it. And I'm like, I can't be the only one. And sure enough, you know, and I was ready to send feedback, and I'm just so lazy about sending feedback for betas. By the time I was ready to send the feedback, they released the new version, and
were thinking, well, if Michael's fine with it, let's roll it.
Yeah, that's my bad. And I, you know, finally started seeing the feedback on, you know, subreddits and that sort of thing about, oh, you know, they ruined the Apple TV app, and I'm like, yeah, they ruined this. I'm downgrading. So I downgraded. And I don't know that it actually is better. I think they might have just ruined the service.
Well, the problem is exactly exactly the problem that you said. My up next and all that stuff is destroyed because the recommendations are all for things that I don't have access to and I have no interest in paying for. And so clicking on it to only find out, oh, that's not on Hulu, or that, because you don't know what service a thing is on until you kind of drill into it. And you're like, oh, I want to watch that. And I think, you know, from Apple's perspective and the partner perspective, it's like, oh, that's going to get me to subscribe to CBS All Access, or that's going to get me
This is all about discovery.
And I'm like, no, I'm like, this is crap, because now I can't watch this thing that I just got excited about. But F you guys.
Absolutely.
You know, I had started pulling back from the TV app even before this update came out, because I was having issues where shows that I was watching that should appear in the TV app showing next episode,
right,
it just wasn't happening.
Yeah, it was broken.
Yeah. What the hell? Why? How is this happening? How are they ruining such a good thing?
Because they have to play ball with these providers like HBO and Showtime, and it was probably the only way to get them to agree not to have their own apps and to have it integrated in the Apple app.
That is not worth it. That trade-off is not correct.
Well, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to us as consumers. It's worth it to Apple and the providers.
But we're not going to use it.
In terms of revenue.
Their trade study was flawed in that case.
Yes. And yet here we are.
Yet here I am, okay, with my downgraded version.
Are we outliers because we live in the echo chamber?
Correct. Yes.
I don't think we're outliers. I think people who understood the TV app absolutely loved it. I certainly agree. There were people who had Apple TVs and they said, yeah, there's this weird button on my remote and I accidentally press and I go into this weird thing and I don't want it.
Right.
And they end up in the TV app because then, yeah. Did you ever explain? Yeah. You've explained it to her and she's like, I don't understand.
She just hates the Apple TV and the Apple TV app.
That's weird, but whatever.
She hates all set-top boxes, though. She doesn't like, she's like, I just want to watch the things I want to watch. I know where they are and I just go watch them.
Okay, so she's not a target.
So she's clearly not the market.
Yeah, she's not the market. No, it's a similar thing with like Apple Watch, for example. You know, you've probably experienced like people who are like told they need one, but they don't know why and they get it and they're like, I hate this, versus people who know they want one and they get it and they love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My wife just likes what she likes. She knows this show's on Netflix and this show's on HBO, and I just launched this app and I watch the show and that makes me happy. It's simple and easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we have a problem when having to jump from app to app on the Apple TV is considered the simple and easy process.
Yeah.
Right.
You might as well delete the damn TV app.
Mm-hmm. We're all cranky pants today.
Put it in the Siberia.
I mean, we're not going to fix it because, again, I just told you why they did it. And their focus is on, again, selling services and getting revenue from subscriptions.
But I don't see people using the TV app now when there's there is negative value to it.
Oh my God.
People aren't,
you know how much money they're probably making right now from people who tap on something that's on Showtime. And then it's like, oh, hey, you can get a week of free Showtime. You can watch this right now. Click. Oh, cool. Click. Oh, I forgot to cancel my Showtime subscription this month. Oh, I forgot to cancel my Showtime subscription this month. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to cancel my Showtime subscription this month. Oh, and I kind of like these shows. I'm just going to keep watching.
Yeah. Well, I paid for another month. I might as well keep watching.
I don't think that happens.
Yep. I think it happens.
I think after the first month, they cancel it.
No. Michael, you're a sane, reasonable person.
No. I'm not saying after the first free month.
No. I think you'd be surprised.
Adam, I cancel it as soon as I subscribe.
Yeah, right. But you see, you know how to do this and you're thinking about it. Most people don't do that. Dude, there are people out there that are still paying for AOL because they didn't realize that they could cancel or that they're even paying.
Well, those people are old and don't understand anything.
That's exactly.
And they're not listening to this podcast, so I'm not offending them either.
Right. We're not talking to the people who are doing this podcast or listening to this podcast because those people know all these things, right? They are not the people that this is happening to. This is a path of least resistance thing. And you notice how easy it is to get subscribed to one of those things. It's literally a click, right?
Yeah, I haven't subscribed yet.
Unsubscribing is click, drill down, click, drill down, click, drill down. Yeah.
And then what people do in their minds is they just justify. They're like, oh, well, I kind of like this show and it's such a pain to cancel and I can keep watching the show and it's just on my credit card I'm not really paying attention to that. It just comes out every month automatically and okay, fine.
I want to hear from the listeners about this one. How do you guys see it going down with maybe you're too smart to fall into that hole, but you know, your experience with family members and that sort of thing. I'm kind of curious to know, you know, feedback at theiosshow.com or Twitter.
Yeah. Please let Michael know how wrong he is.
I think a lot of people fall into this hole. And I think if people do eventually figure it out and cancel, but it's the aggregate, Michael, it's the same baffling.
It's just
like,
such,
how the hell does spam email work or how the hell does, you know, like spam comment posting work? I don't understand who's clicking on these things.
It's such BS, man. Okay. So do you think Apple will ever add an option to filter?
No, I wish they would. That would be awesome.
You know what? I wonder if there'd be a way to like pre-process the shit from the feed. So maybe I'll set up you know how you can get a pie hole?
Yeah.
Maybe I can make an Apple TV hole. And then we can pre-process the feed.
The JSON that's coming into the Apple
JSON,
TV.
Exactly. Oh my God. That's my like summer project.
A proxy server for the Apple TV. Like
That's my summer project. I'm going to do that. Although I'm sure I'll like immediately like look at how it's being done and realize that it's purely encrypted and there's no possible way.
And then you go play in the park.
Yeah, hopefully it'll happen quickly because I really need to.
Yeah, it is. It's funny you brought this up because it's so frustrating. So frustrating because it was so good.
It was so good. It was incredible. I would always, you know, yeah. Oh man, I mean, to be there are situations still where the Apple TV app is going to be really nice where people are like, oh, I want to watch this movie. I don't know what service it's on. And they're like, they start like Googling and I just whip out my phone real fast. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's on Amazon.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I do like it still for some things and I will continue to use it, but I do find it often frustrating because I will see something and it's like, oh, that I wanted to see that. And it's like,
but I'll watch something else. See, I think that,
we were already experiencing that with Amazon though, too. Like once Amazon was integrated, where it started for me was when Amazon got integrated, which I was totally excited about. Mm-hmm. But then Amazon has that weird secondary thing. So Amazon has been doing what Apple's been doing for a long time, right? And it was always frustrating to go into the Amazon app and it's like, oh, you can watch this. And you click
as long
on
as
it,
you're
like,
subscribed
if
to
you
Showtime.
Subscribe to Showtime.
Yeah.
Oh crap.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was kind of weird.
That filtered through the Apple TV app. That was the weird thing. It's like Amazon got integrated and then it like filtered through.
What do you mean filtered
watch
through?
This on Amazon. Well, it was like you can watch this on Amazon. It's like, cool, I want to watch this on Amazon. Oh no, you can't.
Well,
it's
here's
Showtime
the weird thing about the way it had happened in the previous OS is it would show you, it wouldn't show you in the, like, you can watch this now thing, but if you searched for it and then you explicitly said, no, I want to try Amazon, then it'd be like, okay, but it's not what you think. And you could always, I don't know, it was like a weird Spidey sense thing. Like, it knew, like, the Apple TV knew that you're going to have to pay for damn CBS All Access if you go into Amazon. So it wouldn't say you can do this now, but if you really wanted to, you could go through it.
Yeah, now it's not as layered, but I mean, it's the same thing.
And also they've changed the way to say which service you want to use to watch something. So like, they're, like, I watch Voyager in Amazon Prime because Hulu is just trash garbage. And mm-hmm. But for some reason, like, my Apple TV just loves switching back to Hulu. Don't know why. But it used to be you just long press on it and you say watch in Amazon Prime.
Right.
But now the way that works is you have to scroll down like three or four rows and say, and it just says also available in Prime. And that is how you say, I want to watch this next episode in Prime. You guys notice that?
That's a bad experience.
It's freaking crazy. It is banana cakes.
I do like
the new buttons
for like add to watch.
There is an open in. Maybe they fixed it. Maybe that was in the beta. So I'm looking at my phone right now. There's an open in option.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe I don't have my Apple TV in front of me. So maybe it's the same now, but it was insane. And then the other issue that I was having is I had CBS All Access, you know, for a month last year. And the TV app was like, hey, you can totally watch this thing in CBS All Access. And I'm like, bruh, I don't have that anymore. And the way you would disconnect an app from the Apple TV used to be going into settings and clicking on the TV app. And I was just banging my head trying to figure out how to do this. The way you do it now, disconnecting an app, go into the TV app, at least on your phone. I'm not sure how to do it on the Apple TV. But click on your little profile in the upper right under Watch Now. And then there's the Connected Apps section. And so you can turn off from there. And that's a really important thing with the suggestions. So,
yeah, I'm looking at the Apple TV app on the iPad, and I'm not seeing an open in. When I like search for Voyager, it wants to do Hulu. And then I'm seeing what you're talking about, where you scroll down to the how to watch section.
Really? All right. Let me see. Yeah. I'm pulling up Voyager. Oh yeah. It just says play. Yeah. You have to scroll down past the episodes related cast and crew and then how to watch. But do you have those apps on your, I don't know.
Well, definitely have Prime and Netflix, yeah.
What crazy person is designing Apple's apps anymore? I don't understand this. Because the other thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but on my Apple TV, you know how the idea with the tiles, we've had this tile way of this, the language of presenting content for a long time now. And the idea of indicating that there's more content to the side is you just kind of show a cutoff version of the next tile. Mm-hmm. On my TV, they don't do that anymore. It's like, here's tiles. Maybe there's something over here. Maybe there's not. Are you guys getting this?
Swipe on things.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's insane. You have to just be like, oh, can I swipe here? No, I guess I can't go to the next row. Can I swipe here? No, I can't.
The language is developed enough that everybody just knows when you see a tile, a thing of tiles, that
but
it
not,
might be swipeable.
But no. There's a difference between a grid of tiles where you scroll up and down versus scrolling left to right.
I know. I understand what you're saying. I just had to do a UI. I just had a designer at work design this exact interface for a mobile thing that I was doing, and it has these tiles, and there's like no visual indicator depending upon your screen size, because it's a dynamic, it's a responsive layout. And in some of the layouts, it looks like there's just four things in this row when there's really eight.
It may be an issue with my TV, with like the cropping that happens, because on my phone, it still does that.
It shows the little partial one.
Where it shows the partial.
Yep.
So that could be the
issue. I've seen this other places. I mean, this is not unique. What you're talking about is not unique. This has become the new language in a lot of areas. I've seen it in third-party apps. I've seen it in apps. I've seen it in...
Are you talking about them doing it incorrectly or just the scrolling of tiles?
The incorrect way you're talking about, where it looks like there's four tiles across, yet there's really eight. And if you were to put your mouse or your cursor or whatever and scroll left to right across it, oh, look, there's more thumbnails here.
Yeah, I know. People get it wrong all the time. But the point is, Apple's supposed to be the leader in visual communication.
Yeah, well, look at the GarageBand interface.
They're also the leader in hidden interfaces.
I don't look at the new garage. I'm still using GarageBand 11?
Frickin' Apple pioneered the hidden interface.
What is that?
They are masters of it.
How many things do you know of that are on your Apple Watch that if you didn't know to force press, you wouldn't find the extra feature?
I think there's a difference between these two things we're discussing. The hidden interface is for pros. And you can get along using your product without doing those things. That's the hidden interface thing that's okay. And I think, and that's what Apple pioneered with Mac
OS.
You can
get along with using your Apple TV without knowing there's four more things under that four that you're seeing.
You can't find the... Shut up. Let's go. Let's just keep talking. I hate you.
Yeah, you didn't need to see those other shows, Michael.
You're right. You should go outside and play.
There you go.
That's what Apple's trying to do.
Showing you the best ones, and if you're a pro, you can get to the other ones. But, I mean, for the rest of us, you just need those four. That's fine.
Yeah, if you're finding the others, well, you're watching it wrong.
I'm hanging up this podcast. All right. With that, we have to talk about our sponsor, which is Capterra. We all have that friend who's the first one to try things. Whether they're super trendy or more of a guinea pig when you're making a choice, it's always nice to hear it from someone who's been there, done that. Choosing the right software for your business is no different. Read thousands of real software reviews to help you choose the right software for your business on Capterra.com/Tyos. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. With over 850,000 reviews of products from real software users, discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Search more than 700 specific categories of software, everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. And I'm actually really happy these guys are sponsoring Tyos, because I know how hard it is to find that perfect piece of software to fit your needs. Software I've talked about in the past, like OmniFocus, Sublime Text, and Confluence, were all discovered by word of mouth, but Capterra can help you find what you need even faster than before. Visit Capterra.com/Tyos for free today to find the tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Capterra.com/Tyos. Capterra, that's Capterra.com/TIOSS. And we thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. Apple, so we got AirPlay 2 and the new TV app, our favorite TV app, coming out on Samsung and I think other smart TVs, right?
Yes,
Vizio.
Samsung.
Yep.
First. Yeah.
I think Vizio launched theirs too.
Yeah, I believe it was Vizio.
Isn't LG doing it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so these new smart TVs that have the Apple TV option are the updates are coming out. So as far as the Samsung ones, all 2019 Samsung smart TVs, as well as some of the 2018, a few of the select ones can now get the TV app as well as do AirPlay 2. AirPlay 2 to these things sounds like I love that. And for the longest time, I was trying to figure out why would you get an Apple TV if you get one of these things? And I think I understand it now. The Apple TV app is terrible. No, that's not what it was.
this is the iTunes on Windows model.
No, yeah, it is. No, see, you're not getting
people to buy Apple products.
You're not getting everything in the TV app on these. You're not getting all the aggregate of, you know, the Hulu app and the Prime app and all these things. You are getting channels, the Apple channels now, and you're getting iTunes content. And you're getting AirPlay, but you're not getting any of the other stuff.
Do you get podcasts?
No. I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think so. I could be very wrong. Again, tweet me and tell me how I'm wrong. But I, as far as I can tell, it's not, you don't get podcasts. Because it's just the TV app. It's not like open it up and suddenly you have an Apple TV.
Right.
So it's really, yeah. In the same way that the TV app is an app on your Apple TV, it is an app on a Samsung TV. Mm-hmm. Except that it doesn't aggregate from your Samsung TV apps.
Right.
So that's the distinction. That's why you would get an Apple TV. I don't know.
Except as we've already defined, that new experience sucks anyway, so you don't want it.
Yeah. And that's really, isn't it slow? Isn't it kind of clunky and slow, like when you're swiping? Like, I like the idea of, like, ooh, if you wait a minute, it'll start playing the trailer. But
ooh, I hate that.
But it's so, it so makes it so
I
damn,
wish I could disable it.
It's so hard and clunky and just, it makes everything slow. Man, guys, downgrade while you can. Seriously.
Save yourselves.
I'm talking to you.
No, I'm just going to, I live with it. It's fine.
I've pretty much stopped using the app completely. So
you guys are martyrs, aren't you?
No, I just don't have time.
It's so easy. Wait.
I kind of view it as my job.
No, that's what I mean. Martyr slash job, same idea.
Oh, yeah.
So they're still signing. Yeah, you might be screwed now. Yeah, they're not signing 12.2 anymore.
Oh, well, there you go.
They're only signing 12.3. Sorry, guys. Sucks to be you.
Gotta live with it.
Man, it pesters the hell out of me to update.
Well, yeah.
I might have to
have that new Apple TV experience.
I might have to make a pie hole just to make that stop happening. I think that's a feature that you can do.
I did cancel my HBO Now and switched to the Apple TV channel for HBO.
I can see that happening. Isn't it cheaper?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
But it's more convenient.
It's really more
convenient. But I did discover you can, it still does let me use the new, my iTunes login for the HBO Now app anyway. So like if I wanted to still use the HBO Now app, I can.
That's nice.
Because I was wondering about that. Like if you signed up for HBO on Apple TV, and then you went to like a Roku box or some other thing, could you still use your HBO account? And yeah, you can.
Well, that's nice.
It appears like you can.
That's so good. You guys can.
Because what happens is when you launch the HBO app, it says, how are you subscribed? The Now app, it says, how are you subscribed? And then you say like iTunes, and then it asks you to create like an HBO Now account that's then I think tied to your Apple account in some way.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't have an HBO login, right, if you signed up through iTunes or through Apple.
Right. Yeah, you can get TVOS 10 if you want. 12.2.1. It doesn't have the TV app, though.
Hmm.
I agree. Did you guys know that the 5, or is it 4K, 5K? Which Apple TV is it?
4K.
The 4K Apple TV doesn't have a USB port on it.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Can you still downgrade on that, though? Or I think you probably must be able to.
Did you know that the Apple TV 4 is not called Apple TV 4 anymore?
No. What is it? Just Apple TV?
Apple TV HD.
Ooh.
I know, isn't that fancy?
I think we had this discussion a year ago. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, here's a fun one. So we got to iOS 12.3, right? Mm-hmm. Which included the new garbage TV app. And in addition to that, we also got an updated Apple Music app where, yeah, this is a little known nicety. So now the For You section, I've seen so many comments in Reddit, especially about how Apple Music has now left beta and is now good. And the For You section is good now.
It's always been good for me.
Well, the For You thing?
Yeah.
People are, I think they're comparing to Spotify.
I use the For You almost exclusively.
I never use For You.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, it's been my primary...
The four playlists that they set up for me are the ones that I use most frequently.
Yeah, they've always been horrible for me. They give me metal and weird like sad boy music and shit. I don't know why. Maybe there's
they
something
know
I need
you
to
too well apparently.
Yeah,
they're
trying to tell you something, Michael.
Yeah, they need to tell me to grow out my hair and get a lip piercing.
Maybe you're following the wrong friends.
Is that what? Yeah, no, I definitely was following some wrong friends for sure. I'm like, I don't care about any of this stuff. So I unfollowed Adam, of course.
There you go.
Actually.
Oh, problem solved.
That was smart.
Yeah, he's the one with all the sad boy music. But a lot of people are saying the new For You section is so much better, and it now updates multiple times per day. It now curates song and artist recommendations based on your personal playlists, which I don't have any playlists. And
cool. That's probably why some of my things got jacked up.
Because of your playlists?
Well, I don't do playlists. My kids and my wife do playlists.
That would explain why.
My wife and I still share an account. The kids are on their own now, so that's taken care of, but.
And it's also based on artists you have.
That would explain some of the weird things that have popped up recently.
Friends are listening to OK Go, apparently.
As long as your wife isn't doing stuff like picking types of music to send you subliminal messages, you're probably fine.
It's not that kind of thing. It's just like I don't like country, but she does. So I know there's like playlists that have country music in them. And it's like, why is country popping up in here again? I also get some of that too, though, because I like singer-songwriter stuff, and sometimes that crosses over.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Has Recently Played always been in here?
Yes.
In the For You?
Yeah.
I've always been going to the radio and then scrolling down to Recently Played, but this is even better because it shows like actual stuff that I played with in my library.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to try to lean into the For You and see how I feel about it, but I have not been using it.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. The other key with Apple Music, and I've told people this, is you really need to stay on top of like liking stuff and not liking stuff.
Okay, so when Apple Music first started, there was a love and a I hate this, and then there's a like and a dislike, right? There's a thumbs up, thumbs down, and there's a heart, no heart.
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe it was a star or something, but there were two distinct things. And one was like kind of in the context of, I like this for this mood that you're trying to generate for me. And then there's one for like, don't ever play this ever.
Now you just have love and dislike.
Right. So what's the strat? How do you
love the stuff that you love and dislike the stuff that you dislike?
Yeah. And I got out of the habit of doing that. And some of the music that I'm getting now, I'm like, what is this garbage?
So
I mostly tell Siri to do it.
What about stuff that you're middle of
like,
the road?
Like, Siri, I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate this, Siri, stop this. And she's like, okay, I'll remove this from your list. And you're like, no, life. what about stuff you're middle of the road on? You just ignore it?
Ignore it.
Yep. Just ignore it.
Okay. What about if you're like listening to a the chill mix that they give you,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going for a mood, but you maybe like Andrew WK outside of the chill mix.
Mm-hmm.
Is it contextually aware? Do you have any
don't
insight?
Know. That I don't know. You're getting into way nuances that I wouldn't understand. You need
I
to
would
talk
like to
you.
Think it does.
Algorithm but... engineer at Apple.
Okay, I'll definitely get a hold of one of those people and they'll totally tell me. God, I love all my friends at Apple who can't tell me shit about anything there.
Isn't that awesome?
It's so good. Man, we are in a bad mood. Let's pull out of this nosedive.
I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, because I'm arguing with you and you like that.
I know. You're all feisty. This is awesome. I really should have made popcorn for today.
Popcorn's so good. Don't sleep on popcorn. I slept on popcorn for a while and I brought it back into my life and I'm much happier for it. Apple announced earlier this month at the Transact conference in Las Vegas, I believe, that some new Apple Pay features are coming soon in the form of NFC tags that will trigger Apple Pay transactions without needing an accompanying app. So in the context of, like, let's say you happen upon a Bird scooter, for example, or there's a parking meter and you want to pay, you know, you always got to have the right app for the parking meter, right? And it's just, that's why I have like 15 different parking meter apps on my phone that I never ever use, but I have them there to, you know, to make sure I have it.
That's why I have a folder called stores or shopping on my thing.
Yeah. And again, it's the same idea.
All the stupid store apps with all I need is the stupid store card.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And then that's another category, the self-service shopping. So now, with all those categories, they're now trying to get rid of that annoying experience where you just have the NFC tag. You hover over it and it'll say, okay, this is how much it costs, or, you know, for the Bird. Or the real interesting one is that the use case for parking meters is, you know, it'll say, okay, how much time do you want? You say how much time, you hit go, and then you wander off and do your thing. And then when your meter is about to expire without the app, it will say, hey, you're about to expire. Do you want to add more time? And without the app, you can just add more time and keep going.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's really cool.
Are they going to make this something that is easy and affordable for businesses?
Not a damn chance.
Yeah. So don't get excited about
this.
Don't
ask those sorts of questions. We're supposed to be happy about this and move on. But yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
NFC
I would imagine it depends
so
on if
cheap.
There's just an API for it.
I think there is, and NFC is so cheap. But you probably have to register.
I'm sure it's all web. I'm sure it's all web based, right? So it's probably just doing, you know, data connections again, like JSON communication connections to some sort of web app.
Yeah, that you just kind of have to extend from your current app that you already have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not even just build a web app. I mean, it's probably just all web APIs.
Well, you probably have your own private APIs that you just hook into.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
So that's great. Apple has seeded a couple betas now of iOS 12.4 and Apple TV OS 12.4 to developers and public beta testers. There's no idea. They have no idea what's in this. I think it's just bug fixes.
I put it on my iPad Pro.
Uh-huh.
Because I always run that on whatever the current beta is. And the only reason I know it's there is because I installed it. I can't find anything that's different.
Okay, cool. Not even new emoji, huh?
Oh.
No, we would
look and see if there's new emoji.
We would hear about the emoji.
Someone would have already had an article out if there's new emoji.
Oh, yeah.
There's a wombat and emoji.
Nice. Let's see. Oh, here's the best news of the week. There's an Apple Pay promo through Taco Bell where you can get $1 tacos through May 29th when you use their app and you use Apple Pay to buy
10 of them.
Yes.
Oh, you have to buy like pre-buy through the app?
Yeah, you buy ahead of time from before you go to the store. And it's funny, I tried doing, you know, we've been getting the T-Mobile crew have been getting free tacos every week. Originally, I think it was just regular tacos, and now it's the nacho cheese Doritos Locos taco, which is very good. And I finally did it. So I ordered online, And like we were on the way to Taco Bell because like we're just going to Taco Bell because that's what we're doing. But you have to order through the app. You can't get your promotion in the store. So we show up maybe 5 minutes later and my girlfriend gets, she orders at the front like a normal person. She gets her tacos a couple minutes later and I'm still sitting there like an idiot. And finally, after 15 minutes, I'm like, hey, I ordered online, but it still says that it's like waiting to process. And they're like, oh yeah, you should have just told us because we'll just press the button that says go now, which is dumb because anyway, that's the advice I have, is let them know that you're there when you arrive, if it hasn't already said that it was processing. But otherwise, free tacos or dollar tacos for that matter, up to 10. That's pretty good. To get your tacos. And then finally,
it's like a 40% discount because aren't they like $1.39 or something like that normally?
Hey, discount is discount.
No, that's what I mean. That's a significant discount.
Yeah, it's a good deal. And finally, Apple employees are starting to get Apple cards. So we got a screen or a photo from Ben Geskin. And they are indeed titanium and cool looking, and they just have your name and the chip and the mag stripe. And I can't wait to get one of those.
Effing mag stripe.
I know, I hate that there's mag stripe, but you're going to go into a store. If you go into a store with no mag stripe, they're going to be like, what kind of criminal are you?
Exactly.
You know, the number of stores that I go in still that don't have chip reader. It's still mag stripe only.
Yeah.
It's just shocking.
Well, I mean, they're going to trust me when you go in with your damn Apple card and there's no numbers or anything on it. They're going to be like, you made this. This is dumb. I'm not taking this.
They don't even look at your card. You just swipe it.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're right. People are so they have dead in the eyes. And they're not going to notice.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get mine.
I think it's a beautiful looking card. And you can
cut your steak with it.
And you can cut your steak with it.
That's a Waz move.
But looking at what you get with it, if I'm getting another credit card, I'm thinking I'd be better off getting an Amazon Prime card.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah, we did. Yep, I remember now.
Yeah, I'm just getting mine mainly for the Apple kickbacks.
Yeah, totally makes
sense. Same thing I said back then. So I'll process all my Apple subscriptions through it for sure.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. Let's talk about picks. And I'm going to let Adam go first.
Oh, no. Can never remember what I picked.
I feel like I always try to change it up by letting Adam go first.
Did I ever pick Jackbox?
Yeah.
Dang it.
All right, Jeff, go first.
Yep, then I don't have one.
Jeff.
Okay. Mine is not exciting, but it's really handy because I do a lot of traveling. So I used to use GateGuru all the time to keep track of the different airplanes that I was going to be on, where the right seats are, and GateGuru shut down.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that just sucked. TripAdvisor, they started a new thing called SeatGuru. And it...
That's already a thing.
Yeah, but now it's the only thing. So if you want something to replace GateGuru, go get SeatGuru.
Okay. That's a good pick.
I told you it's not an exciting pick, but if you travel a lot and you've been hunting for your GateGuru replacement, there you go.
Oh yeah. So I open it and it's like, oops, something went wrong.
Yeah. That's all you'll see.
It's pure oops now. It's oops, yeah. Oops, all offline.
Yep. So, anyhow, there you go. Excuse me. And you can download it for free. And so you can figure out what plane you're actually on, which is great because if you find out when you get to the gate that you're actually on like a regional plane where they're going to gate check your carry-on, that really sucks when you're having to pull all the stuff out of your carry-on so that you can unscrew the compartment that holds the battery that's built into the laptop, or excuse me, into the suitcase.
Dude, do you have an away bag?
I have an away bag.
Okay, all right. So here's my pick. I have a better pick than before.
Okay.
It's a pick just for Jeff.
Oh, I'm excited.
And I'm going to save your life. Are you ready?
I am so ready.
All you got to do is reach out to Away and they will send you a conversion kit. For free.
Really?
For free.
Really?
It took me maybe an hour of like lazily doing this thing. So you unscrew like, I don't know, 10 different screws. It's a little bit funky because the battery compartment is part of the telescoping handle.
Yep.
Right.
But yeah, it's totally doable, not a big deal, and you can convert it, and now I have a pop-out battery.
Oh my, okay. So
they'll give you a conversion kit so you can get a pop-out battery rather than having to have a screw-out one?
Yes.
Oh, I so need that.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah, it's free. Just get a hold of them. I think you can just send them an I think I just emailed on the...
I just found, okay, so if you go to awaytravel.com/battery, they have a whole thing about the way their battery system works, and then there's a thing in here, can I update the battery module on my carry-on with an ejectable one? And it says yes. And they have three free ways to switch it out. Click here to pick the one that works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
awaytravel.com/battery.
Yeah. That's my pick.
Oh my God, I need this so bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. Okay. So you can mail them your suitcase. You can go visit one of their stores, or you can have them send you a do-it-yourself kit, which is all I need. Oh, that's the best pick.
There you go.
Oh. This is going to save me so much aggravation.
Yeah. And then, so your pick is the Seat Guru, and it's free.
My pick is Michael for being so awesome with his pick.
Anytime. All right, Adam, what do you got?
Okay, I double-checked. I don't think I ever picked this. I think we've probably talked about this on the show. And I can't imagine there's many people that don't know about this, but since we were talking about Apple TV and sort of convenience of like watching things, I'm going to pick Movies Anywhere. So and if you don't have
say, I don't know what
a
is.
Movies Anywhere account and you have not signed up for a Movies Anywhere account and you use iTunes or any other place to buy your movies digitally online or register your movies digitally online, you know, like Vudu, or I don't think it's around anymore, but if you ever used Ultraviolet or any service and you don't have Movies Anywhere, you need to go sign up for Movies Anywhere and get the Movies Anywhere app and do it. Because what it does is it allows you to connect your accounts at all the different places. So Amazon Prime, Vudu, Xfinity, Google, iTunes, wherever. And then any movie that you've purchased on any one of those services will be linked together, and then you will have access to it on any of those other services. So my main motivation in using it was to get everything that I've purchased different places into iTunes, into my iTunes account, or unlocked in my iTunes account, so I can watch them there. But it's kind of like magic. So now if I'm looking for a movie and it happens to have a better Amazon, you know, video price, I always forget what Amazon calls their Amazon Prime Video, you know, their digital service.
Right.
I know I can buy it on Amazon, but then it will still unlock and be available in my iTunes account because it's connected through Movies Anywhere.
Cool.
Movies Anywhere is pretty cool.
And there's only like one weird exception. There was a weird exception with, unfortunately, I think it was, again, Ultraviolet, which was just a horrible service, and I hated it anyway. I got a really good deal on like a batch of movies, and it turned out that they were the only service that didn't play cross-platform to iTunes. So I have it available in like Vudu and Inside Movies Anywhere, but they never unlocked Inside iTunes. But most studios and most movies will work. There's like certain studios that maybe it doesn't work, but then you have the Movies Anywhere app, and definitely all your movies are available inside that one app. And the app's not horrible. It's not great. You can get the app for your Apple TV. You can get the app for your iOS devices. So at the very least. And so it what I like about it is it allows me to shop and not worry as much about where I'm buying my digitally downloaded movie from. Right. So there you go. Movies Anywhere.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. So since I had a good pick, I'm going to include my kind of weak pick. Maybe it's kind of a,
oh, I had a bonus pick.
All right. What do you got?
Playtime. Playtime? Playdate.
Playdate. Playdate does look really cool.
Play.date. You know about this, right, Michael?
No.
Panic is doing a handheld game system. And it's got a crank on the side of it.
Here's my problem with the crank. It's just right-handed. But this is the only complaint that I have about it.
Yeah, so the folks at Panic are going to build a little handheld game platform with kind of indie games on it. And I'm thinking it looks like the idea is it's going to sort of have a season sort of subscription. So there's going to be different seasons of games, and they're working with different indie developers to develop games for it. And so you'll buy the thing and you'll pay, and then you'll have, you know, access to the games. I'm thinking there's not a lot of details on it right now, but they're saying there's 12 games in the first season. So I'm guessing you buy a season's worth of games at a time. But regardless, it looks like a cool little device. It's from a developer that I really like a lot. And right now they're just taking interest lists for like pre-orders. So you can go sign up for it. But play.date is the URL.
So it doesn't take batteries?
No. I think it's battery powered. The crank is more a mechanism.
The crank doesn't charge it. It uses USB-C for that. The crank is like a different take on a joystick.
I love it. It's just quirky. It's indie. It's tech. It's just everything about it is fun, I think. It's not cheap. It's going to be $149.
Yeah.
Hey, I just ordered my DIY kit to upgrade the battery case in my away suitcase.
Cool.
Oh yeah, we're doing picks. We're still doing
little
picks.
Black and white screen. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted your pick because I had this little bonus pick I almost forgot about.
Play date. One word.
Play.date is the URL.
That's $149. Okay. So my pick, I went to see Detective Pikachu.
And I've heard it's good.
It actually is. You know what they did? They did the most correct thing for this kind of dumb movie. They did all the things that the fans wanted to see. They had all the fun, you know, goofy Pokemon things, the callbacks and everything, and you get to see all the good Pokemon, and then they didn't try to milk it for all it's worth. They didn't try going 2.5 hours. It was 1.5 hours long.
Okay, that sounds like a good length for that movie.
It was a perfect length. I mean, there was a moment where I'm like, hey, you know, how long have we gone in here? But it wasn't like 5 times.
I heard it was heartwarming, good story. It was well done.
They got in, they got out, they did what they needed to. It was good. So, because I watched that, I got home and I'm like, hey, I want to check out the original series, the original cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my pick. I guess
did you grow up on it?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing I heard about the movie, and the thing is like, if you're not part of that Pokemon, that it really is kind of a very much a fan movie.
It's absolutely a fan movie, but they didn't screw it up by just trying to overreach.
Right. But I mean, like, for me, Pokemon was not my era. So I'm sure I'll see the movie at some point, but like, I don't feel compelled. Like, I have to rush out and see it. If that makes sense. And I've kind of been told that, like, if you're not really into Pokemon or you didn't grow up watching Pokemon cartoon or whatever, it's a good movie, but it's not a must-see movie. Whereas I've heard if you grew up on Pokemon and you're a Pokemon fan, like, it's almost like a must-see movie, that it's really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. So the entire, there are, I guess, on Netflix, it's kind of scattered, but thanks to the TV app, I can actually figure out where it is. So season one is on Netflix, and then seasons 20 through 21 are on Netflix. I guess season two is just nowhere to be found.
Weird. Wait,
did you say there's 21 seasons?
I know.
Holy crap.
And then seasons 3 through 15 are on Amazon Prime. Seasons 14 through 16 are on Hulu.
I love it. It just so demonstrates how broken the system is.
I know. Mm-hmm. Isn't it great?
For like licensing it. And doing agreements on this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there is just no rhyme or reason to like what things get licensed or like put onto services and what things don't. Like, I cannot figure out how that process works. And it just feels like it's so broken. Like, why wouldn't, if they're licensing it, why wouldn't they just license all of it everywhere to everybody?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, why would you license only like the first three seasons, or and then these guys have the last five or whatever? It's just weird.
It's crazy. But yeah, so I guess it's a try pick for me, I guess. If you grew up on Pokemon, the movie's good. And then you can sort of watch it. If you have a bunch of different services. Which is hilarious. Well,
you said it sounded like most of it was on, was it Amazon or Netflix? You said like
season one and seasons 20 through 21 are on Netflix.
Oh, 20 through 21.
And then most is on Amazon Prime, where you get 3 through 15. And then, so season two is nowhere to be found. Oh, wait, I take it back. Disney Now, whatever the hell that is.
Disney's new service.
Has all seasons.
That might be a reason to get Disney's new service. And Disney's new service, I think, is only $6 a month.
I don't know.
Is that right? It was like $6.99?
Yeah, but I have Hulu and Prime and Netflix. Oh, apparently you can buy seasons 1 through 4 on iTunes, but that's it.
Wait, wow.
Actually, I'm not entirely sure what the hell I'm looking at now. Because it says there's two versions of... What am I looking at? I don't even know what this is anymore. Pokemon the series, Sun and Moon... I don't know. There's too much happening.
Yeah, that's the new show. And the new app.
Sun and Moon?
Sun and the Moon.
Pokemon Origins. Season 2, Volume 1, I don't know. Season 200. I don't know. Yeah. That's kind of, it's compounded by the fact that Pokemon's kind of crazy, but anyway, you can watch it on internet somewhere and whatever. Some of it's on Netflix. Season one's on Netflix. That's all that matters. You're going to get tired of it. I was tired of the first episode. It was more nostalgic.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So anyway, you can find our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. You can review the show on iTunes, tell a friend, leave some stars. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address. You can check out our sponsor, Captera, at captera.com/tios. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, and at Mattcast on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And I guess you were playing Minecraft when we called you. I'm sorry I took you away from that.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get back to it.
Okay, good. Yeah, don't leave that to don't leave it unattended. Jeff Gamet, he's at Smile Software and at J Gamet on Twitter. And it's just Smile. I keep calling it Smile Software. It's just because the URL is Smile Software, right?
Yeah, the URL is Smile Software. If it's easier, just tell people textexpander.com.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, too.
That works, too.
What about pdfpen.com?
You know, I'd be surprised if we don't have pdfpen.com. Let's see. pdfpen.com.
Doesn't resolve. Oh, yeah, it does. Cool. Oh,
there you go.
All right. Now, the more you know. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet. How are we going to communicate this? A stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Stylus. So let's not use a stylus.